on Pesach, there's a special emphasis that we find in terms of supplying aniyim, supplying those amongst us that need it with the provisions of Yantif. What's called in the Lashon of Chazal and Halacha, Kimcha de Pischa, the Kimcha, the flower of Pesach. And this is brought in Halacha, that a person is supposed to generously contribute to the provisions, to whatever the aniyim require in terms of having matzahs on Pesach, in terms of having food for Pesach. The Mishnah at the beginning of Arei Pesachim says about afilu ani shabiyisrael lo yoychal ad sheyasev lo yifchasu lo midal ad kaises afilu min atamchoy. A person has to, if he's a gabbet tzedakah, has to make sure that the dal kaises even, which is the rabbanon, that also has to be provided for aniyim. And this is what we find. We find a great push in these days for all types of chesed around Klal Yisrael. Time Chai Shabbos is at they're operating on all cylinders to try to supply aniyim, people that need it with food. And there are other organizations that are providing for rabbeim, Chastei Lev, tremendous organizations that are making sure that whatever is necessary for the Yantif, HaBa'aleinu L'Toyva of Pesach, is provided for, is taken care of for Acheinu B'nei Yisrael. It's interesting, the Vilna Gaon is medayek this from a pasuk. He says that the pasuk says in Parshas Bai, Shivas yomim toichal matzis, for 7 days you should eat matzis. And then the pasuk says, matzis ye'achel es shivas hayomim. And matzis should be eaten. Ye'achel is a lashon of it should be eaten. So shivas yomim toichal matzis, that means you should eat matzis. And then matzis ye'achel shivas hayomim, matzis should be eaten. What does that mean? What's the difference? We just said that matzahs, that you're supposed to eat matzahs. Says the Gaon that matzahs ye'achel is an additional chiyuv. It's not just that you have to eat matzahs, but you have to ensure that matzahs ye'achel, matzahs will be eaten by everybody. Not just yourself, you have to look beyond yourself and make sure that even aniyim shebi Yisrael are provided for with matzahs. And of course, the simple reason for this is because Yantif is expensive. It's a very expensive Yantif. Matzahs are quite expensive to buy. Shmur matzahs, I don't know how much they are a pound, but they're quite expensive. Wine is not cheap, and all the meats and whatnot that needs to be provided. So if it's difficult even for middle-class people, alachas kama v'kama, it's difficult for aniyim. And a person, if you're a yid, you have to come to other people's rescue, if they need you, their families need you. So of course, a yid always has to do chesed. But I think that when it comes to the Yantav of Pesach specifically, there is an oimek hadavar, there's something very deep in terms of understanding why Klal Yisrael redoubles their chesed effort. If their chesed is wonderful and it's great throughout the entire year, but at this time specifically, for some reason, there's a groundswell of initiatives, of chesed opportunities that abound, that we try to help other yidden in terms of providing for them. And I think that that is not coincidental when it comes to the Yantav of Pesach, and that's what we're going to discuss this morning. We know that there are three yamim tayvim, shlesha regalim, shalosh regalim. And each of the regalim represent a different phase of the relationship between Klal Yisrael and the Rabbeinu Shlom. If Klal Yisrael and the Rabbeinu Shlom are like a chasen and a kala, so the yamim tovim, which is really rooted in the early stages of Klal Yisrael and Hashem's relationship, it represents, it symbolizes the three stages of our life together, of our early life together. Pesach it's brought in the Sfarim, is the Zman of Erusin. It's a time that Klal Yisrael and the Rabbeinu Shalom Kaviyachal have this relationship of an Erusin, of a Chasan and a Kala that are newly, freshly engaged. Zacharti lo chesed nurayach, avas kluleisayach, lechtech achrei bamidbar beretz leizerua, that Hashem says, I remember those wonderful years, chesed nurayach, the chesed of your youth, avas kluleisayach, the love of the nuptials, the love of that chasan and kala experience, when you committed to me to go and follow you into a desert, Peretz Leizerua, that takes an amazing amount of commitment, of devotion, of dedication. And that's really what a chasan and kala do. If you think about it, a kala is basically signing up for an uncertain future with her chasan. You have no idea whether or not is he going to be matzliach in his learning, in his business, in his parnasa, in his life, or is he not? You're taking a chance. You're taking a chance. And a chassan is taking a chance on the kala. He relies on her to be able to make a stable home, to make a wonderful, warm home, and to mother children appropriately. You don't really know exactly what the future holds, but you're basically taking a very, very big leap of faith in one another. That's what every chassan and kala does. I remember when one of my first friends to get engaged, a very close friend of mine, he was like telling me this when right after his engagement, he said it's an amazing thing that he wasn't looking at himself as being like the savior. He's looking at her like she's willing to take a chance on me. Like she doesn't know me. She doesn't know what's going to be, but yet she's willing to commit her entire life to be by my side. And that is if you stop and think about it, sometimes as young Bnei Taira that go, you're just dating and you're just like sort of going through the system and you check the boxes, so you get a shidduch ret, and then you go out with a girl a couple of times, you get engaged. But if you think about it deeply, it's a very big leap of faith. You don't really, as much as research as you do, but that's what it is. It's a real statement of devotion and dedication to one another that I'm willing to go through life with you. Be'eretz Leizeru, I don't know what the future holds, but this is what we're going to do. We're going to do it together. That's what Pesach is all about. You know, Shavuos represents the chuppah. It's after the engagement, that's when the Matan Torah, Har Sinai, was Kafaleim Har Kegigas, that represents a chuppah. And then Sukkos represents also the establishment of a home together. But basically, if you focus on Pesach is the time that it's Ki'ilah, we committed to one another as Arusin, as a Chasan and a Kala, and we decided we are going to become one. We are going to throw our bundles together. We're going to be Klal Yisrael and the Rabbeinu Shalom. We're going to follow you into a midbar Beretz Leizeruah. We're going to be Mekabel B'Torah, which is the very purpose, the very essence of Yetzias Mitzrayim, as the Chinuch famously says, that the entire point of us leaving Egypt was not just to get freedom, it was not just to be liberated, but it was really to be Mekabel B'Torah. That was the whole point. Tavdenes Lekim al Harazah, the commitment was made early on when Moshe Rabbeinu saw the sneh, the burning bush, and it was on Har Sinai that burning bush was burning. And at that time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, Tavdenes Lekim al Harazah, you're gonna serve me on this mountain. It means after Yetzias Mitzrayim, you're gonna come to this mountain, and this is where we're gonna be Mekabel HaTorah. That was always the plan of Yetzias Mitzrayim, to get the Torah. That's why we count the Yemei HaSfira between Pesach and Shavuos, because there's this bridge, there's this connection between leaving Egypt and being Mekabel HaTorah. But that was the purpose of Pesach, it's a statement of faith in the Rabbeinu Shalom and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us, that we want to be together. We want to establish an Avas Kulei Sayach, a time of great love, a love that is experienced during this time of Erusin. I always thought that maybe that's why we don't say Tachanun during this time of Nisan, because it's really, it's a time of, it's like there's a chassan in the room every single day, there's a kala in the room, there's something there's an eris, and just like a chassan, we know doesn't, if chassan's in the room, there's no tachanun. That's what we have. There's a chasna in the air. There's something going on. There's an erison that's happening right now as we speak, a love that exists between Klal Yisrael and the Rabbeinu Shalom. Now, when a person is looking for a kala, if a boy is looking for a girl, what does he look for? What does he look for in a girl? What does a girl look for in a boy, for that matter? What's the main thing to look for? And of course, your Shemayim is on the top of the list, and the fact that you're able to get along with one another, as the Ramban says, that you have to be able to be saiva one another, you have to be able to tolerate each other at a very basic level. You know, if you can't stand the person, if you won't be able to live with the person for whatever reason, then that's not a good idea. So you have to, at the basic level, you have to find somebody as your Shemayim, and that is a person I could get along with. We have similar personalities, similar interests, of course. But the most important thing, the most basic fundamental thing that a chassan and a kala must have in order for any smart, bright person to commit to one another, are midas taivas. You have to have good midas. You have to be a good person to the core. If a person is not a nice person, or doesn't have feelings, doesn't care about other people, doesn't do good for other people, they're just thinking about themselves selfishly, and they're greedy, and they have no interest in anyone but themselves, and they're looking just for the bigger, better deal, that's not a person that a person should commit to. Just not. Midas taivas, the fact that a person is a good person, that's a person that you should pursue in terms of getting engaged, getting married to. If a person is very attractive and very rich and whatever, but they're horrible people, they don't have good midas, they're not nice, that's a person, obviously, that you should stay away from. And it's a problem because even though this seems to be obvious, but it's not always so obvious. Because a lot of times people go out with other people and they get blinded by certain things, by yichus, by looks, by money, by family, by other things, and then they sort of they lose sight of the most important thing. Is this person a good person? Do they have midas taivas? Are they a person that, you know, that will care about me and that I could care about and that will care about other people? There was a certain person that came to the stipler, and they asked the stipler what to look for in a shidduch. This person was looking for a shidduch for his granddaughter. And he said to the stipler, what do I need to look for? Now I'm looking out for a shidduch. Tell me what I should look for. So the stipler says three things. He says he should be a masmid. He should have a smada and taira. He should be able to sit and learn and shteig. He should have a seichel yasher, a glatta kop, a good straight mind. He shouldn't be, you know, sometimes you speak to people and you have no idea what they're talking about. Their mind is like zigzag and there's no straightness, there's no clarity in anything that they're saying. It's just all, you know, very confusing. That's not good. You have to have seichel yasher. You have to be a person that has a good, normal mind that could think clearly and straight. And the final thing he says is midas taivas. So you should find a boy, a bacher, that has very good midas, very solid, fine midas. Now this person that asked the stipler this question was a little bit confused, because didn't you say that he should be a masmid, he should have seichel yasher, he should be a good, solid ben taira, solid yeshiva bacher? Says if he's learning taira all day and all night, he's a real masmid, so doesn't it go without saying that he has midas taivas? I mean, who else should have midas taivas but yeshiva bacher? And listen to what the stipler said. He says, I hear what you're saying, but listen to me. He says, a yeshiva bacher basically sits by a shtender all day. In our yeshiva, we have tables, but in many yeshivas, in the Mir, and in Panovich, and in Eretz Yisrael, and Kol Torah, where I went, and in Lakewood, they have shtenders. The whole base manager is full of shtenders. And everybody has a shtender. They sit and they learn by it. So, it's interesting, just parenthetically, I heard from my Rebbe that when Reb Moshe Feinstein came to Lakewood for the first time, there's like a Chanukah Habayis in Lakewood. This is going back, I don't know how far back, 1950s, 60s, I don't know. And he was upset, this is what my Rebbe said, about the fact that in Lakewood they had shtenders. In MTJ they have tables. In Lakewood they have shtenders. He felt it wasn't appropriate that a Talmud sits by a shtender and the shtender, like the Gemara, like sort of leans into him. He says a person's supposed to lean over a table and learn with his body should be leaning. The posture should be that you are kafuf to the Torah, not that the Torah is doing you a favor and coming to you. That's what when you sit, like it's you bring the shtender close to you. Anyway, the Reb Moshe wasn't so fond about that setup of shtenders. But anyway, definitely in many, many yeshivas around the world, they always had shtenders that they learned by. So he said, a shtender is a wonderful zivug for yeshiva bacher. It's a wonderful, wonderful partner. It's a wonderful spouse. As this boy is learning by the shtender just does everything for the boy. He holds the Gemara for him, and he could rock back and forth with it. He could daven by it. Does everything, and he expects nothing. The shtender has no expectations. You never have to, buy the shtender jewelry. You never have to buy the shtender, take the shtender to a doctor if it's sick. You never have to go shopping for the shtender. It doesn't ask you to do errands. It doesn't ask you to visit its parents every couple of weeks. It doesn't ask you to do anything. It's fine. It's just the perfect zivug. There's nothing, you can't get a better shidduch than a shtender. He says, all of a sudden, Yeshiva Bacher is thrust out into the world. He marries a girl, and all of a sudden, this girl's no shtender. This is a girl that needs, she keeps asking for things, she keeps expecting things, she keeps insisting on things, and she gives it back. And this boy is all befuddled, like, what's going on? Where's my shtender? I thought I was just going to get a living shtender. This is not a living shtender, this is like a disaster. It's a nightmare. So Stipler says you could be a very big bentayr. You could have a yeshiva bacher, find a yeshiva bacher that's all his rabbeim love him, and he has seichel yashar. He's a lamdin. He's a masmid. He has everything going for him in terms of his learning, but he's looking for a shtender. Maybe he's used to a shtender, and that's why it's important for a yeshiva bacher to have midas taivis. Because midas taivis means that I understand that there's a human being that I have to take care of, and that I have to worry about, and I have to provide for, and I have to make sure not to say the wrong things, and I have to be good to, and that's where midas taivis kick in. You could be. It doesn't mean to say that Torah doesn't improve your midas. It does, but don't assume that just because a guy is a chashuva ben Torah that he has the best midas. That's not always true. Very often it is true, but sometimes it's not true. So that's why you have to make sure that when you're going and you're looking for a shidduch for your granddaughter, that the person is going to be a real fine ben Torah through and through and has midas taivis. Midas taivis is the most fundamental thing that a person could look for when they are dating. The great Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, there was an Iluya Shabacher by the name of Reb Chaim Eizer Grudzinski, and he got engaged to his granddaughter. Reb Yisrael Salanter's granddaughter got engaged to Reb Chaim Eizer Grudzinski. So, a very chashuv shidduch, and Reb Chaim Eizer, the future father-in-law, which is the son-in-law of Reb Yisrael Salanter, the father-in-law of Reb Chaim Eizer, meaning that in the middle generation, sent a long letter after his daughter got engaged to Reb Chaim Eizer. He sent a long letter telling all the shvachas about this unbelievable chassan Chaim Eizer. He's a gain, he's an Eloi, His nose called Terakula, he's sharp, he's unbelievable in learning, and the whole letter was about learning. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter writes back to his son-in-law that Iker Chasim and Asefer, the main thing that I want to know about who's marrying my granddaughter was missing from your letter. He says, the Pasuk says, and we are all familiar with this from Kedushin, Esbiti Nasati Le'ish Hazeh. My daughter, I gave over to this man. Now, ish could be a man, but in Yiddish, the word for ish is a mensch, which means that when you're giving over your daughter to somebody, you have to make sure that the person is a mensch. This is, of course, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter L'shitas. This is all Rabbi Yisrael Salanter dedicated his life to making sure that we're all menschlich, that we all learn Musar and really adapt a midas tayves lifestyle to ourselves. But he says, this is the main thing to look for in a shidduch. I want to know, does he have good midas? Is the boy a good, does he have good midas taivis? If he has good midas taivis, then gevaldik. But if not, I don't care how big a Talmud Chacham he is. That's not going to, you know, I'd much rather have my daughter marry a less of a Talmud Chacham, but a person that has wonderful midas, and a guy that's an Eloi, and he knows Kol Torah Kula, and he knows Shas Bal Peh, but he's not a mensch. He's not a good person. That's not a big favor you're doing your daughter by getting a, who's that for? That's a shidduch maybe for you, but that's not a good shidduch for your daughter. Your daughter expects somebody that's a good, fine, healthy, nice person. That's what a mensch is. Chaim Kanievsky has a scary story. He says about a bachur who he was davening in a shul, and there was like an old man an old man, and he had very bad problems walking. Something happened. He fell, and his legs were not what they were. And he asked this bachur if he could have a lift, if he could please give him a ride home. So the bachur says, you know, you like giving so-so, I don't know, maybe, yeah. All right, fine, come into the car. Anyway, he was sort of, like, the bachur had to go in a different direction at a certain point. So this old man's house was like one more block. It's very difficult for him to walk. So instead of driving him door to door and dropping off in front of the house, he says, you know, I'm going to have to drop you off over here because I'm sort of in a rush. I'm going to have to go the other way. And, you know, this at least I got you halfway there. Anyway, the guy was very upset, very, you know, angry. He didn't maybe say it, but he was, like, very disappointed. He had to get out of the car and start schlepping up the hill and getting into his house. Anyway, P.S., Reb Chaim Kanievsky says, a few weeks later, this old man's granddaughter got engaged, so he went to the vart, and he comes in, and guess who the chassan is? It's this boy. He says, and he immediately broke the shidduch. He says, this is not going to happen. I am not allowing my granddaughter to marry such a para adam. He couldn't take me an extra block. He saw that I needed it. Where is his chesed? Where is his midas? That he didn't care enough about another yid, and that's who I should have my granddaughter be married to? And he insisted the shidduch be broken. This is what Reb Chaim Kanievsky says. My father, Elav Shalom, used to tell me about, you know, he grew up in Denmark, and he said that this story always sticks in my mind. I always tell it over to my daughters, that he had a cousin that was dating a girl in Denmark. And they went out, and they had a good time together, and they enjoyed each other's company, and they were about to get engaged. But the chassan decided to do something. I don't know if you should try it at home. Maybe you should. But he, on Erev Shabbos, he knocked on the door like Friday afternoon, just like a surprise. He paid a surprise visit. And he wanted to see, like, if this girl, what she was doing. You know, and sure enough, she was busy. She was, you know, cutting vegetables in the kitchen and cleaning the dishes and setting the table for Shabbos. As soon as he saw that, he was good. He was ready to go. But he wanted to make sure that she had midas. Sometimes, you know, a girl on dates, they seem like wonderful, from and everything, but then lamaisa, they don't do anything at home. They never help at all. And there's cleaning ladies to make the bed, cleaning ladies to set the table, cleaning ladies to cut. They have no interest in, or they have no, they don't want to. They have no, you know, they're just expected to be catered to. That's not good. They have to be, you know, busy. They have to be motivated. They have to be driven in Yiddishkeit to make sure that they're going to establish a home properly and to be happy shopping and cooking and doing all the necessary things that is sometimes expected, at least partially on her, partially on the guy, but together to build a happy and productive home that, you know, that works. And if and this is what he felt he had to do before he consummated the engagement. He wanted to make sure that the girl was wasn't just nice on a date and, you know, drinking Diet Cokes in a restaurant, but, you know, somebody that's able to really be motivated to work properly and to have midas and to not be lazy and to be a productive person. Tell you a story about a Talmud, very close Talmud of mine from the early years in yeshiva. And so he got engaged. He was looking for a while for a kala, and it took time. And what happened was that I might get some of the details wrong, but he went to a barber shop. It was like before the 3 weeks. So the barber shop was very, very packed. And he got a seat, he was waiting. And then there was a pregnant woman that came in with her kids to get her kids' haircuts also. And the place was packed and it was gonna be a long wait. And it wasn't so, and it was hot. And but this Talmud of mine, he happens to have exemplary midas. I mean, I don't know if I know a person that's a finer person in my life. And he instinctively, as soon as he saw the pregnant woman come in, he jumped out of his seat and he offered it to her, and she, you know, appreciated it greatly. And she asked him his name. And anyway, this woman ended up, you know, being the shatran. She made a shidduch for this boy and he got married, and, you know, and Baruch Hashem, everything, they lived happily ever after. But it's all because it was built on Midas Taivas. The whole Shidduch is built on Midas Taivas. You see with Rivka, which she, you know, how the whole proof that Rivka was the right Shidduch for Yitzchak was by the Midas Taivas that she had, the chesed that she did for the Gemalim and for Eliezer. And that's what ball of wax, the whole engagement, the whole what you're looking for has to be built on Midas Taivas. If you're ignoring Midas Taivas and you think that that's something that, you know, that's a footnote, but the main thing is whatever those other things are that you're looking for, you're gravely mistaken. And it was kedai to come today, Shmuz, for me to come and for you to come just to hear this, because it's so important. It's much better. It's much better to get a girl that's not so rich and not so pretty, and not so geschmack, but she's a good, fine, honest, solid, good, healthy girl, than all the other things that people are running after, and then in the end, all they're left with is somebody with bad midas. So another story, just thought of, there's another Talmud, also wonderful midas. This happened closer to today. It was a few years ago. And there was somebody locally was sitting Shiva, and there was a snowstorm, like a crazy snowstorm. So it was very hard to get a minion of people to come to the Shiva house. And this Tom was one of these, you know, do-gooders, and he got all his friends to come, and they made there was no one. It's not just having a minion, but also they wanted to fill out the Mishnayos, you know, for the Shleishim, and nobody was coming into the house. There's like Kimat, no one signing up for the Mishnayos. So this boy not only arranged all the Minyanim, but he also like took a lot of Masechtas upon himself to learn. And he was also not a youngster. He was going out for many years already. And another person, like a relative, came to the house for the Shiva, and they were signing up for the Mishnayos. and they see this like one guy that signed up for like half the Mishnayos. He said, "Who is this guy? Like, what? You know, there's who?" Like, he says, "It's this and this person." He says, "Oh, he was read to my daughter, you know, a while back, but we looked into it. We weren't interested. But if he has such midas, we're going to revisit it." And sure enough, they revisited, and today they're married, Baruch Hashem, and again. But it's all gebayt on chesed. It's all built on chesed. If you have midas taivas, and the girl has midas, it's going to be a beautiful shidduch. If one of you don't have midas taivas, it's going to be gehenim. You mamish, it's the most fundamental thing. You're married. Imagine a roommate. It's the same. It's not much different than a roommate. You know, we've had good roommates in our life. We have bad roommates. There's roommates that don't make their beds, and they're very messy, and they don't care, and they put on the lights when they come in, even if everyone's sleeping. And then there's other types of roommates that, you know, are very considerate. And imagine if I told you, okay, I'm going to give you a roommate. It's going to be a roommate for the rest of your life. You probably make sure that it's the type that's considerate over the type that's not. But you're so busy looking at everything else that you forgot the Iker Chasim and HaSefer. You forgot the main thing, to make sure the person is a mensch. And that is what a person should be checking out primarily when they're looking into Shidduchim. Not so much all the other things, but the main thing is Midas Tavis. That's what the whole Shidduchim is built on, is to find a girl that has fine Midas, to find a boy, if you're a girl, that has good Midas. And not to settle, even if they have the other things that you were looking for. If that's true, let's plug that back in to this period of time of Pesach. The Avos Kulei Sayach, the fact that we became a chassan and kala, Klal Yisrael and the Rabbeinu Shalom. So what is the Rabbeinu Shalom looking for in a nation? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the chassan and we're the kala, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu looking for? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for a nation that's Gaimel Chasadim, that's Gaimel Chesed. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands that Kaviyachal, in order to make a Shidduch that's going to have a Kiyum, that's going to be forever and ever the eternal nation, the eternal bond that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it has to be built on the fact that we have Chesed. The whole relationship, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked for Avos Kulei Sayach, not just with a nation that's very smart and very rich and very capable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'ikar was looking for a nation that has chesed, because that's what a shidduch is built on. There's a fascinating Tana Deve Eliyahu in Perek Chaf Gimel. It says, Kishahayu Yisrael b'Mitzrayim, when Klal Yisrael was in Egypt, Niskabtsu Kulam v'Yashvu Yachad, Klal Yisrael gathered together and they sat as one, Mishum Shayu Kulam b'Aguda Achas, and they coalesced around one another. They were unified. The Karsu Bris Yachad. And they established a bris, a covenant with each other. What was the covenant that they made? Sheyasu Gemilas Chasadim Zem Zeh. That we would do chesed with one another. The chesed was the linchpin that brought Klal Yisrael together. This was the bris that Klal Yisrael made. We decided together as one, we would be a nation that will care for one another. We'll be a nation that does chesed, that's gaimel chesed to one another. That was the most important bris that we were able to make in Mitzrayim. And when we made that bris in Mitzrayim, that we would follow the ways of Ram Yitzchak and Yaakov, then that was what captured HaKadosh Baruch Hu's heart, Kaviyachol. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw in the Aves, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw in their descendants, that's you and me, that we would be able to always be able to be Gaimel Chesed to each other. And that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was looking for when he was being Meshadich with a nation in the world. Beautiful Vart on Parshas Beshalach. V'chamushim olu bnei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. When we left Egypt and we were about to go through the Yamsuf, v'chamushim olu bnei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. What does that word v'chamushim mean? It's a subject to a great debate, what that word v'chamushim means. Rashi, of course, says, v'chamushim is mizuyonim. That's the first term. Mizuyon means like they came armed. They had weapons with them. or echad mechamisha yatzu v'arba chalakim meso b'shoish z'me'afela. That's Rashi's other Pshat. V'chamusha means one-fifth of Klal Yisrael left Egypt. The other four-fifths, which is a very big number, if you think about it, there were 600,000 men that left Egypt that were Gedalim, and then there were many Ketanim and many women. There must have been, you know, several million people that left Egypt, and four-fifths of them, of that's what left. So let's say it was 2 million people left Egypt, for argument's sake. That's just one-fifth of the total original population. Four-fifths out of them died. So that means there were maybe 8 million people that died, and 2 million went out. It's a lot of people that died. Why did they die? They died during Makas Chayshech, not so long before Makas Bechayres, and they died because they didn't want to leave. They were comfortable where they were, and they didn't want to leave, and so they died. That's what the Chamushim means. Chamushim teaching us that one-fifth, one out of five, Chamushim, one out of five left Egypt. If you look in the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, he says, V'chalchad im chamsha taflin saliku b'nei Yisrael me'arad Mitzrayim. He says, every single person took five children. V'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael me'arad Mitzrayim. They took five children. It's like they have five, it's like every single person had five children they took with them out of Egypt. V'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael me'arad Mitzrayim. Says the Belzer Rebbe, a beautiful pshat, he says, He's trying to like put together, combine these two pshatim of Rashi that says one out of five people died and that every yid took five children out of Egypt. He says like this. He says they weren't all their children. All five were not their own. One child was, let's say, their own. And four-fifths, the other four-fifths of the kids were the four-fifths of Klal Yisrael that died during Makas Cheshach, meaning there were a lot of orphans that were Nebuch left in Mitzrayim after their parents died. And so who took care of those kids? Well, every Yid took four kids with them. They had one kid of their own, proportionally, maybe if they had two kids, they had eight, they took eight kids with them. But proportionally, for every one child that I have, I took four of other people and I adopted them. Because, and that ties together beautifully, that every single person had five children they took with them. Four of them were not my own. Four of them were from other people. That's what the Belzer Rebbe said. That's the chesed that Klal Yisrael were Isaac with as they left Egypt. They understood that this is what makes us unique as a people. We are not just the people that are selfish, that are looking for our own personal interest. We are people that are always looking to help other people, other Yidden, and make sure that everybody's taken care of properly. And that's the amazing legacy from Mitzrayim, from Pesach, that we have Arayim. That we have Arayim. The chesed that Klal Yisrael excels in is something that is, it's ad lahafli. There's no other nation in the world. Mikamcha Yisrael, I know it's an overused cliche, but we have to like appreciate it, what we have. The chesed that we have, I always say this, Hatzalah. I have yet to see like an ambulance in like in Italian neighborhoods that are special for Italian people. I have yet to see an ambulance in any Irish. Did you ever see an Irish Hatzala or a Puerto Rican Hatzala or an African American? I never saw that. I don't know why. There's something that's unique about Klal Yisrael, that we care about each other. We care about ourselves as a community, as a people, that we cherish one another and we do chesed. And the chesed that Klal Yisrael does is unequaled. What does Hatzalah guy do? Hatzalah guy, he could be in the middle of a Friday night meal, he could be in the middle of a Pesach Seder, and he gets a call and it's not so far away, or it is far away, and he'll drop everything and he'll go on that call and he'll spend the whole night in the hospital maybe, and then come back, you know, in the early morning after the Seder is over and the meal is over, and the Mesiras Nefesh of the kids and the wife is unbelievable also. Chaverim, helping people. I think we've all had an experience. If you have a car, you have to have Chaverim's number, and wherever you are, there will be Chaverim that will come in and help you, give you a charge, give you a boost, give you a change your tire. I was in the hospital a couple of, maybe a month or two ago with a relative of mine that was in the hospital, and over Shabbos I had to be there, and there was a Biker Chaylim room. This Biker Chaylim room was stacked, with hot cholent and hot kugel, and they didn't know I was coming. I mean, I was obviously for all Jews in the hospital, but like I was a beneficiary. They had a house that I slept in Friday night, right on the grounds of the hospital. But they had every type of food. They had chopped livers, and they had everything, cake and challah. And who's doing this? Like, who's stocking this? Every single Erev Shabbos, and probably during the week as well, there are people that are going and they're volunteering their time. A lot of them is Satmar women, Satmar Biker Chaylim, and everybody, like a lot of people, hear Satmar, you start thinking of Natura Karta and Zion, anti-Zionism. These are women that they take school buses from Williamsburg into Manhattan. They go from hospital to hospital, and they put in these refrigerators, in these hot ovens, delicious foods that people, they don't care what level of religiosity you're on. They don't care. They look beyond all of the politics and all the color yarmulke and they just want to do good for Klal Yisrael. This is the chesed that Klal Yisrael does. This is what we established as a covenant in Egypt, and this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw in us. The Avos Kol Yisrael, he was looking for a shidduch. Who do you want to do a shidduch with? I want to do a shidduch with a nation that gets chesed, that has amazing midas, that care about each other. I don't want a nation that's of selfish people, of not nice people, people that are rude and disgusting. I want fine people. I want people that have the most sterling of midas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu found that in Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is the most perfect nation in the world. We're not perfect, but of all the nations in the world, there is no one like Klal Yisrael. There's no nation in the world that's even remotely close to Klal Yisrael on many levels, but specifically when it comes to chesed. There's nothing else in the world that we would do for another. There's nothing that would stop a yid from what they do. The amount of money that's raised for tzedakah, for Taimchei Shabbos, I don't know if that exists anywhere. In any capacity, let alone to the degree that we do it, but like Taimchei Shabbos, and we could go through, you know, there's gemachs of gemachs. There's a cute story that's told about a father that was leaving his child. He was going, like Shabbos afternoon, he was going to learn, and his kids and some friends were sitting around and playing Monopoly. And they're, you know, so he came back like a few hours later from his shir, from his chavrusa, and they're still sitting and playing Monopoly. He said, well, it's a long game. I mean, Monopoly is not a quick game, but it shouldn't take 3-4 hours. Is this, how many games did you play since I left? So he looked at him and he said, no, we played one game. We're just playing the same game. He says, nobody won in 4 hours of Monopoly, nobody won? He says, yeah, somebody won, and the other guys ran out of money, but we started a gemach, and we started giving Monopoly money to the other kids to continue playing. That's what a yid does. That's the chinuch. Halavai, our children should understand that. The ability to give money. I'm not in it for me. I don't want to win and say yes. I want to be able to share. I want to take and share. That's what a yid is, by to his core. We all have that. Sometimes, you know, we have a timtum alev. Sometimes we get a little bit stuffed up in our spiritual arteries and we start, you know, and our midas are not always so sterling. But deep down inside, if you dig deep into every yid, you'll find a sterling person. You just have to unstuff the arteries a little bit. You have to work on the midas a little bit. And you have to, you know, learn Musar and go to Vaden and go to Shmuzin and listen to Shiurim and understand the importance of being a Baal Chesed. And so that's the reason I believe that we find this time of year in particular an upsurge of chesed, an upsurge of kimcha de pischa, an upsurge of looking to help the dalit kaisis of Yayin, how rabbanim these days are so busy trying to raise money to find to find the necessary funds for everyone in their community, make sure that people have matzahs and mar and charesis and wine and everything. That's what Rabbanim are busy with. To make sure that no one's left behind, that nobody's sitting without those mitzvahs hayayim, mitzvahs halayla. The famous story of the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi, somebody came to, he was the Rav in Brisk, somebody came to him with a shayla. Says, what's the shayla? Says, would I be able to be yaitse dalad kaises with milk? Could I use milk for my dalad kaises? So, obviously, if you're the Rav, what would you do? This can't be. I have to give him money for wine. See, how much is money for wine? You have two bottles of wine is, I don't know, $30, let's say. So, but instead of giving $30, he gave him $300. And he sends him on his way. And the children of the Beis Halevi or the people around, they didn't understand why. It doesn't cost $300 to buy some bottles of wine. So he says, you have to hear the Shiloh. When somebody asks you a Shiloh, you have to understand the deeper Shiloh. If he's asking if he could be Yaitse Dalet Kaisais with milk, what's the takeaway? That he doesn't, it's not just wine that he doesn't have, he doesn't have meat either, because if he had meat, he couldn't drink milk. So if he's asking me if I could be Yaitse my Dalet Kaisais with milk, obviously I have to pay for not just wine, but I have to give him basar. I have to enable him to have the mitzvahs of Ein Simcha L'Basar V'Yayin. This is what we have to be busy with this time of year. To help other people, to be Isaac and Chesed. Now, not all of us have the money to give to Kimcha de Pischa. And not all of us have a car to, let's say, go to do Chesed, Taim Chesh Shabbos. But we can all do Chesed in other ways. And the one way that we could start with is charity starts at home. That's an expression. But there's, I don't know if it's a Yiddish, I don't know if it's a Gaiish expression, Yiddish, but it's there's truth to it. Before we start, sometimes we're busy with chesed. This is a very important yisayit in chesed in general. A lot of times people are busy with chesed, but outside the house. They're busy with this guy and that guy, and I'm running to this, and I'm running, and which is wonderful, but in the meantime, your own kids need you, and they're not getting what they need because you're so busy doing chesed with Yenna that you can't take care of your own kids. Sometimes I'm busy tutoring, some kid that needs tutoring. My own son is flunking out of school because no one's helping him. My priorities have to be with my own family. After the Brisker Rav used to say this, says you can only start doing kirov and chesed once your own family is on solid ground. If your family is all yireim ushleimim, they're all learning properly, they have yirshamayim, everything is going well. But now you can start being makari of other people and bali tshuva and going to college campuses and going here and doing chesed. That's all wonderful. But first, you got to make sure that vaya machanecha kadosh, that your own kids are fine, your own kids are healthy. It's wonderful to do chesed, with strangers, and it's all part of what we're saying today, but you have to make sure that your own closest of kin is taken care of. And so we go home. We're going to all be going home, I assume. Some of us may not be going home, but those of us that are going home, preemptive. Chesed starts at home. Chesed starts at home, which means that we have a lot to do. There's a lot to do in your house. I should really be home right now doing it, but I'm here giving the closer shmooze. But really, I shouldn't be here right now, and probably you shouldn't be here either right now. These are times that we should all be home, rolling up our sleeves, putting on like some really, dirty pants and shirts and scrubbing and cleaning and cooking and shopping and doing whatever is needed to be done. That's the chesed that we have to do. After that, once our house is spiky, and you want to do, help other people, clean their cars, great. But first, make sure that your parents and your grandparents and whoever needs to be Isaac, to take care of the tzrachim that are in these days leading up to Pesach, are taken care of, are met. That's chesed also. Is it a bigger chesed to do something for somebody that I don't know than people that I do know? There's a famous story about Rav Aaron Cutler and Rav Nassim Wachvogel in the early years of Lakewood. They had, hard to imagine, but they had barely a minion of Kailal guys in the whole Lakewood or Bachrim. And So they needed every single body to make a minyan. And there was one guy, like an avreich, that was, he was consistently like either coming very late to davening or missing altogether. And he happened to have been a grandson of the Chafetz Chaim. And a great-grandson. And so they were concerned, like, where is this guy? Like, we're paying him in the kailal. He's supposed to be, and like he comes, he's like, you know, it's not like we don't notice. It's not like we have 10,000 people here. It's like, we need you for a minyan. So they called him over one day and they told him, you know, what's going on. He says, 1,000%. He says, I try every day to come to yeshiva, and as I'm on the way to yeshiva to come to davening on time, he says, there's like this woman that Nebuch, she has these kids, and she needs help, and, you know, she needs to carpool, she needs to do this and that, and she's all alone, and I can't help but help her. So it takes me time. I have to stop and stop what I'm doing and take care of her. So they look at each other, Rav Aaron and the Mashgiach, Rav Nosson, look at each other like this is a real einikol of the Chafetz Chaim, you know, real Baal Chesed, unbelievable. He's going. He says, but tell us, maybe we can help also. Who is this woman that you're referring to? He says, no, that's my wife. My wife, I'm on my way out. My wife needs help. She's going crazy. You know, the kids are giving her a hard time. They don't want to get dressed. They can't put they don't want to put their socks on. They don't want to put their shoes on. They can't find their lunch. She's going crazy. And I should just go and daven? Charity starts at home. I have to take care of my wife first. And that is such a fundamental lesson in Chesed. Chesed, we think, is joining Hatzalah, joining Chavirim, joining... and that's true. That certainly is. And that's Mohoder, L'mahajim and Amahajim. But it has to start first to make sure that we in our own homes are doing Chesed. And if our mothers are asking us to please go shopping, not to roll our eyes, not to say, but I have a chavrusa, not to say, these are, you know, they give us a whole year away in yeshiva to learn. You come home, you roll up your sleeves and you work. You have to, you know, there's so much to do. I mean, I'm planning tomorrow on cleaning my garage, if anyone wants to help me. Because then if you help me build a sukkah, you know a little bit about what's going on in my garage. And it's not pretty, but, you know, I'm going to do it. We're going to do it. But it's a half a day work. It's a lot. I already finished the closets in the basement or whatever, but it never ends. There's a lot to be done, a lot of shopping, a lot of cooking, a lot of cleaning. And why should it fall on your mother? Why should it fall on your father? Why should it fall on, you're part of the family. That's chesed. That's what the call of the day is. This is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu married us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu found in us this amazing ability to have midas tayves, to have chesed. And then once we do that, if everyone says, your mother says, fine, because now you could... you go to the Beis Medrash and learn. You could help other people, whatever. All that's wonderful, but it starts at home. It starts at home, and if you understand that, you're going to be the best husband. Because you'll realize that I have to be home, and I have to help, and I have to do everything to make sure that my wife is happy, my wife is normal, my wife is stable, and that the kids aren't growing up happy and normal and stable. And then once I have that covered, now I can go and move on beyond and spread my chesed to the world. But it starts at home. It starts at home. But that's no doubt why there's so much initiatives these days of chesed, of kimcha de pischa, of maeschitim, of caring about one another. Because this is the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took note of the gevaldige chesed that Klal Yisrael has, and he decided to move forward with this relationship, to take us out, to take us to Matan Torah, to marry us under the chuppah of Har Sinai, and then to go weiter into the sukkahs of the Midbar. And all of that started because of this bris of chesed that we excelled at, that we have birusha from Avram, from Yitzchak, from Yaakov, from the Imais. And Mitzvah Hashem, we should all be zeicha to be mekayim, to continue this legacy of the Avos, to continue the legacy of Klal Yisrael, to be tremendous Bali Chesed. And Mitzvah Hashem, this year we should be zeicha to the Emes Achasna, Revi Askel Tzedek, Imhera B'Yameinu, Amin V'Amin.